funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How does Parkinson's disease rob some patients of their ability to communicate clearly, and how can they fight back? In addition to well-known symptoms like tremors, slowed movement, and posture and balance problems, many people with Parkinson's also find it harder to speak clearly as the disease progresses. But while problems like hoarseness, articulation, and volume may not respond to the same medications used to relieve motor symptoms, they may respond to specialized forms of speech therapy, which can also be used to target the cognitive effects of the disease. Speech-language pathologist Samantha Ellenderry joins us to talk about this. She is founder and CEO of the Parkinson Voice Project. You can learn more about that at ParkinsonVoiceProject.org. Samantha, welcome to Think.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So tell us what happens with Parkinson's disease overall. Give us an overview, and then we'll talk about the voice problems.
Well, Parkinson's destroys the automatic function of the brain. So things that used to be automatic are not anymore. So, for example, blinking, swallowing, and then also speaking. So somebody without Parkinson's won't have to think about articulating or breathing when they speak. But with Parkinson's, because they don't have enough dopamine, that destroys the automatic function. And so now people with Parkinson's have to think about everything that they do, including the voice.
So if they're not paying attention, their voice doesn't sound the way it used to.
Absolutely. The voice will. So Parkinson's makes, one characteristic of Parkinson's is that it makes all the movements smaller. So somebody with Parkinson's might take smaller steps. They might write smaller. But in terms of the voice, they are breathing more shallowly. So they're taking very small breaths. And when they do that, what ends up happening is their voice becomes very soft. And it can be raspy, and then they're not moving their tongue and lips as much, so their articulation is not as clear. So it makes all the movements smaller. So when they use intent, which is the premise of our Speak Out program, we teach people with Parkinson's how to use intent or to speak with intent. They take deeper breaths, they increase their volume, they move their tongue and lips more, so their articulation is better.
So we have some audio here. We'll listen to an example first of how patients can improve with therapy. This is 75-year-old Sanford Jano before he started his treatment.
What changes have you noticed in your voice or speech since the diagnosis of the tremor?
Oh, it's gone definitely down.
In what ways? What kinds of things have happened?
Stuttering.
The stuttering?
Yeah. And many times I start to say something, and then I just say, oh, the hell with it.
It just doesn't come out.
It just doesn't come out.
And here is Sanford at the completion of the program.
Now that you have completed the Speak Out voice program, do you notice a change in your voice or speech?
Yes, I now sound alive, and I talk with gusto.
That's right, you do. And when you want people to hear and understand you, what do you need to do?
Well, I used to bang the table and say, damn it, pay attention. But now I get up and I say, good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to have your attention so we get the program underway.
That's the transformation is really remarkable. Is it always that obvious from start to finish?
It depends when the patient seeks out treatment. So it is critical that as soon as somebody notices changes in their voice or their swallowing, that they seek out help. Soon. If you wait too long, it'll get harder. But yes, those results are very typical with the Speak Out program, and it is amazing. Parkinson's is one of the few neurological disorders that responds very favorably to exercise. And that's because Parkinson's isn't making the muscles weaker. The movements don't come automatic anymore. So that's the problem. So if somebody isn't using the muscles, if we compare it to the walking of the small movements when they're walking, small writing, shallow breathing, what happens is they become weak because the person isn't using them, not because Parkinson's is attacking the muscles and making them weak. So people with Parkinson's can get better. And we didn't know this 20 years ago because Parkinson's is a progressive. It's labeled as a progressive degenerative disorder. The thinking was, well, why bother treating it? Because it's just going to get worse. Mm-hmm. Well, now we know that's not the problem. The problem is that somebody with Parkinson's needs to do intensive treatment, but then they need to keep up with it. If they keep up with it, they can keep the muscles strong. But if they don't, then it'll regress very quickly and it'll go right back to how it is. And that's why we have the loud crowd at the Parkinson Voice Project.
I want to ask you about Parkinson Voice Project, and then we've also said Parkinson's disease. Is there a correct way to talk about this illness? With or without the apostrophe S?
Oh, gosh, nobody can agree on it. But our thinking is the disorder was first described in 1817 by Dr. James Parkinson. He was a neurologist, and he did not have the disorder. So that's why we have Parkinson Voice Project versus Lou Gehrig's disease, where Lou Gehrig, it's possessive. Mm-hmm. But we usually say somebody lives with Parkinson's. They have Parkinson's, but when you put the word disease after it. But nobody will agree on that. All the different Parkinson's organizations, you'll see it both ways.
So if I slide into the apostrophe S, you'll forgive me.
It's okay. It's all right.
Tell us, Samantha, about how you, I understand that the therapy goes pretty intensively in the beginning and they're one-on-one sessions. How do they work?
Okay, so Speak Out consists of 12 therapy sessions, but really it's a month of intensive practice for the patient. So every day for 25 days, the patient is doing voice exercises twice a day, and then he or she will work with a speech-language pathologist for 12 of those sessions. So it is intense, but a lot of it is that the patient has to set a routine and do the exercises on their own. So we could give somebody 100 therapy sessions, but if they don't set a routine because of the Parkinson's, and then they go off after the therapy and they don't do the exercises, then the voice will drop the volume and it'll become raspy again and the articulation won't be clear. So they have to set a routine. You know, Parkinson's is a movement disorder. You battle it by moving. And so that is not just about the muscles we use for speaking or swallowing, but also the whole body. The tricky part about it is that people with Parkinson's don't have the dopamine. Okay, so it's by the time somebody has any symptoms of Parkinson's, they have already lost 60 to 80% of the dopamine in their brain. And dopamine is the chemical, the neurotransmitter that motivates us, that gives us our drive, that gets us to get up in the morning and do what we need to do. Well, Parkinson's, again, it's a movement disorder that can be battled by moving, but the person with Parkinson's isn't motivated to do that. So the Speak Out program is very structured, and we help the patient set a routine so they can do the exercises on their own. And then after that month of treatment, they transition to what we call the loud crowd, which is the maintenance program, which is really critical because the patients come in once a month and they are assigned to a particular voice group. We also have a singing program. And so that is to hold them accountable and also to motivate them to keep doing the exercises. They've got to keep doing them.
How does singing work when you have diminished? It's not breath capacity, but it's just you have to think about breathing and taking a deep breath. Is that it?
Well, I mean, it's everything. It's singing is great exercise for our Parkinson patients, but they need to sing with intent. So they need to sing with more effort than maybe the rest of us have to. And once a year, to motivate our patients, we have a show. So we put on a show, and our next show will be on September 13th. And we will have 100 people with Parkinson's perform for a crowd of 800 or 900 family, friends, and community supporters.
And I guess you have, how do they select their own music or how does that work?
We have a music director. So one thing about Parkinson Voice Project is that it is the gold standard in the treatment for people with Parkinson's. So all of the voice groups are led by speech language pathologists. Our music program is led by a music director. We have care partner groups that are led by a counselor. So it really is the best treatment possible for people with Parkinson's.
How did this kind of therapy develop? My understanding is that there was one individual that sort of pioneered the idea that you could restore some voice function for Parkinson's patients.
The Speak Out program is based on the teachings of a Dr. Daniel R. Boone, who is a speech-language pathologist who in the 1950s discovered that people with Parkinson's could produce clearer, louder speech if they spoke with intent. And the way that he found this out is that he was working with a neurologist and they had people with Parkinson's count from 1 to 20. When they counted from 1 to 20, they could barely be understood. It was soft and mumbly and raspy. But then Dr. Boone had the patients count backwards from 20 to 1, and all of a sudden they said 20, 19, 18, and it was clear and it was louder and they could be understood. And so that's when Dr. Boone discovered that people with Parkinson's have the capability to produce clearer speech, but they have to think about it.
And people don't always realize that their voices have diminished.
With Parkinson's, besides the motor component to Parkinson's, so, you know, that's the tremor and the reduced balance and the physical symptoms, there's also a sensory deficit, unfortunately. People with Parkinson's typically don't notice that the voice is diminishing. Their family or friends will notice it before they do. And it's because it's not something that you can touch. You know, if they trip over something and fall down, then they say, well, I've got a problem. But the voice, they don't recognize it. So in their head, they are hearing themselves like they spoke before, mm-hmm. when in reality, they're really too soft. So that's probably the most challenging part of the treatment is helping the patient to realize that they have to put forth more effort when they speak. They need to speak with intent and they're not too loud.
There must have been, we heard it in Sanford Jano's soundbite earlier, that frustration of not being able to be understood. And he talked about, you know, banging on the table to get people to listen. If people don't find ways to speak more clearly, it's socially isolating.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, 89% of people with Parkinson's will develop speech difficulty if they're not treated. And it can be extremely frustrating. We can't do anything with family or friends or coworkers that doesn't require talking or eating, you know. So we have a lot of our patients, you know, they can't go through a drive-through. They can't order their food at a restaurant. They can't talk to the pharmacist. They can't be involved in their medical care. They can't keep their job or keep their volunteer work if they can't speak. It's extremely important.
How wide is the range, the age range of the patients that you work with?
Well, the youngest person I've met with Parkinson's was diagnosed when she was 12.
Wow.
We have a board member who had his first symptoms at the age of 17. Most of our patients are in their 70s. So Parkinson's affects one of 100 adults over the age of 60, and then about 5% will be under the age of 40.
So they're potentially in a room full of loud crowd graduates. You could have a wide range of ages rather than just mostly older folks.
We can, but something that's special about Parkinson Voice Project is that we have 8 different voice groups that are all part of the loud crowd. So we separate patients. It could be based on age or based on the severity level. So somebody in their 40s who might be raising children would be in a different group from somebody else who might have great-grandchildren.
Different life experiences.
Yes.
There we go. My guest is Samantha Ellenderry. She's a speech-language pathologist and founder and CEO of the Parkinson Voice Project. We're talking about treating speech and voice problems associated with Parkinson's disease. If you'd like to join the conversation, call us at 1-800-933-5372, send email to think@kera.org, or send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program, accepting applications for this fall to design your own Master of Liberal Studies degree with concentrations in human rights, creative writing, and organizational dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're speaking this hour with speech-language pathologist Samantha Ellenderry, founder and CEO of the Parkinson Voice Project. We're talking about treating speech and voice problems associated with Parkinson's disease. If you would like to join the conversation, call us at 1-800-933-5372, send email to think@kera.org, or send me a tweet, at Chris Boyd Think. You mentioned before the break, Samantha, there is also an issue with swallowing. Same muscles, same system in the body. Swallowing problems are not just socially isolating. They are dangerous.
Yes, they're life-threatening. 95% of people with Parkinson's are at risk for developing swallowing difficulty. In fact, the main cause of death in people with Parkinson's is aspiration pneumonia, food and liquid going down the wrong way and making someone sick. Now, something that is interesting is that we have been tracking our patients at Parkinson Voice Project. And even though nationally aspiration pneumonia is the main cause of death, that's not happening to our patients who do the treatment and then continue on with the loud crowd and keep up with their exercises. They're staying strong and they're maintaining their ability to speak and to swallow.
Can you give us an example of what an exercise would sound like, what you would prescribe for a patient?
Oh, gosh. Well, there's all different. Sure. There's six components to the Speak Out program. The first one is a warm-up. So it's maybe similar to what a vocalist might work on. So it's a may, me, my, mo, moo, and they're warming up their voice and getting things going. And then we hold out, another exercise is to hold out an ah, but it's not just any ah, so we will hold it out, the patient will hold it out at 85 to 90 decibels. So if you walk down the halls at Parkinson Voice Project, you're going to hear a lot of yelling. So it's high intensity. Mm-hmm. The patients are also reading words, phrases, paragraphs, speeches, but at a high volume. So 80 decibels. So you will hear in the halls the Gettysburg Address or I Have a Dream or different songs, singing. Everything's done at an increased intensity level to strengthen all the muscles that we use for speaking and for swallowing.
Do patients have to maintain that sort of focus in every conversational exchange, or if they're tired, can they sort of relax a little bit? How does that work?
Well, compare it to maybe if we went to an aerobics class and we're working at a higher intensity level and we're sweating and working really hard, but then when we go to the mall or we're just walking down the street, we're not using that much intensity. The patients will always have to think about it when they speak in conversation, so they will always have to be aware of speaking with purpose, being focused. Because, again, the automatic system isn't working, so they will always have to think about it. But they won't be yelling at people, so they won't be talking in conversation at 85 decibels. But that's how they exercise.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go to the phones now, and we have Tom on the line in Dallas. Hi, Tom.
Hello. How are you? I'm here to call and say thank you to Samantha and the Parkinson Voice Project, her professional staff, for everything that's helped me with my voice and reclaiming it. They're a tremendous organization, and I'm just a new recent graduate of their intense training that Samantha talked about earlier, and I'm finding it much easier to react. I think you could be a good judge of that.
Well, I am. Actually, Tom is my dad, Tom Boyd, and Dad, it's great to hear from you, and I have to say we have all been able to tell very soon after you started the program. I remember talking to you on the phone, and I could tell a difference.
Well, I thank you. They got plenty of follow-up exercises, weekly meetings. I've joined the singing group that Samantha has set up, and we do have that performance due in September. We practice several times per week. We're going to do a medley of Beach Boys and Beatles tunes. and Sound of Silence should be a really good time. But what it does is it's exhilarating and fun, and everything that the Parkinson Voice Project people do is top-notch, like Samantha said.
Well, I'm proud of you, Dad.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
And I think you would have joined that singing group even if you didn't have Parkinson's.
Well, I did. You and I enjoyed that when we were young, being in musical theater. So,
all right. I never say this as I let guests go, but I love you. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. How do you measure progress over time? And are there times when patients are coming in weekly, but there's still continued weakness going on? What do you do about that?
So at Parkinson Voice Project, every 6 months we bring our patients in for what we call a speak out refresher. So after the 4-week treatment, the patients are coming to group every week. And then every 6 months we bring them in and they meet privately with a speech language pathologist for 2 visits, and we reevaluate their voice and see how they're doing. Are they maintaining their volume? Is it getting worse? Has it gotten better and stronger? Which is very possible. If they've been doing their exercises and have been coming to Loud Crowd, they might be even stronger. But we want to catch the problem early. So if there is a problem, we will catch it at that 6-month refresher. But it is possible, you know. So, you know, how many times have those of us without Parkinson's started a diet or an exercise program and we're very motivated at first?
Sure.
And then, you know, it kind of dies down. And so that's just human nature. But with people with Parkinson's, if they let up, if they stop doing the exercises, it could be life-threatening. So they have to keep up with it. But the 6 months refreshers is what helps.
Is it customary for Parkinson's patients to be referred by their neurologist or whatever to voice therapy?
Yes. Yeah. Most of our referrals come from neurologists. Mm-hmm. We do work off of a physician's script or physician's order. But a lot of people will hear about it from friends or from today's show and then call us, and then we'll contact the doctor and get a prescription for the treatment. But one thing I wanted to bring up is that we do not charge for our therapy services at Parkinson Voice Project, and we don't bill insurance. We're a nonprofit organization that is funded entirely through donations and a pay-it-forward system. So our patients receive all of the therapy that they need and deserve, and then at the end of treatment, they're given an opportunity to pay it forward, make a donation to help the next person receive treatment. And by running the program this way, we've run it this way since 2008, we have never had to deny treatment to any person.
I love that that works, because it's a little bit like the public radio model. What made you decide to provide this service this way rather than going a more traditional route?
Medicare does not recognize maintenance therapy. And so that's one of the big differences between our program and maybe other speech programs, not even necessarily for Parkinson's, but other speech programs. The maintenance is key. The Loud Crowd is critical. And it's something that insurance will not pay for. And so we just thought, you know, we want patients to receive all the treatment that they need, and let's just see if this would work. We received a large gift in 2008, and that enabled us to kick off the Pay It Forward system. Our budget is $1.2 million per year. I'm not going to say it's easy to raise that money. It's not. But it works, and it's definitely worth it to be able to give people back their voice and not to have to worry, you know, well, you haven't met your deductible, or your insurance is only going to pay for 10 visits when you really need 12. We don't have to worry about any of that. And actually, we save a lot of money because we don't have a billing office. We don't have a Medicare billing specialist. Our speech language pathologists are not bogged down with paperwork. We can focus on the patients. And if we have an idea, like let's have a show and get 100 people to perform, then we can do it. Medicare and insurance would never pay for anything like that.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go back to the phones now. We have Linda on the line in Grand Prairie. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi, go right ahead, please.
I wondered if there is a means, and by what avenue do you pursue to have your dopamine levels checked, or for someone else that you suspect might be getting the onset stages of Parkinson's?
Thanks for your call.
So normally, Parkinson's is diagnosed by looking at the symptoms. So there are four main symptoms to Parkinson's, which would be tremor, slowness of movement, reduced balance, and rigidity or stiffness. Those are the four main. There's a whole lot of other symptoms, but those are the four main ones. When a person presents with two of the four symptoms, so tremor, reduced balance, slowness of movement, or rigidity, when someone presents with two of those specific four symptoms, the person is usually started on some medication. If the medication helps to relieve those symptoms, then they say that person has Parkinson's. There is a test now called the DAT scan. It's D-A-T, the DAT scan, that will measure the levels of dopamine in someone's brain. But normally they would go based on the symptoms first. Now, let's say somebody, they thought they had Parkinson's, but as they go to the neurologist every 6 months, it's not progressing the way the doctor expects it to. For example, Parkinson's normally progresses very slowly. So let's say it was progressing more rapidly than they thought, or maybe the person was not responding to the medications. They might go ahead and do a DAT scan to try to figure out what else it could be.
And the medications that work for things like tremor and slowness of movement and balance issues, they don't affect the problems people have with their voices and with their swallowing?
They don't. I mean, a person whose medications are working, they might feel better. So then maybe that might carry over somewhat to the voice. But the problem is really with the small movements and the automatic function not working. So a person's speech will only get better by using intent, using more force. We like to tell people to use their CEO voice. We tell them to focus, concentrate, be mindful. Or like Sanford Jano said on there, he speaks with gusto, and that's how he translated the intent. But again, it's not just for the voice, though. All of the automatic movements are the automatic function isn't working. So somebody with Parkinson's has to think about getting out of a chair, has to think about picking up their cup, getting their wallet out of their pocket, opening their purse. Nothing will be automatic. They have to think about it. So what we like to do, before somebody starts treatment at Parkinson Voice Project, we have them attend an information session. And what our hope is that they will come to understand the use of intent for the voice, but then carry it over to other parts of their life. So they end up walking with intent and driving with intent, riding with intent. And all of us use intent. Okay, when we exercise, if we want to work a certain part of our body, what do? We think about that part of our body. When we went on our first job interview, we were focused, right? We made a point to make good eye contact, to put our hand out and shake the interviewer's hand. You know, all of it. And so people with Parkinson's can understand that intent. You know, when we're driving down the highway and we get stuck between an 18-wheeler and a concrete barrier, all of a sudden, whereas before we might have had one hand on the wheel kind of relaxed, we scoot up and we put both hands on the wheel and we think about what we're doing. We might turn off the radio. We're using intent in that example.
There can be some cognitive effects from Parkinson's as well. Can you talk about how this therapy can sort of complement work that would be used to delay the progression of cognitive symptoms?
Mm-hmm. So one thing I want to be clear to your listeners who have Parkinson's or know somebody with Parkinson's is that the cognitive deficits associated with Parkinson's are very different from, let's say, Alzheimer's. People with Parkinson's will usually stay cognitively intact, but their movements are slower, so their thinking is slower. So the two most common cognitive challenges we notice are a slower thinking process and then word-finding difficulties. So a lot of our patients, when they first come in, this would be an example. If you're out to dinner with a bunch of friends and they're all talking and laughing, because the thinking is a little bit slower, by the time the person with Parkinson's is ready to respond to what somebody else said, the conversation has already moved on to something else. Mm-hmm. So it's not that now the content will be accurate. It'll be, you know, right on, but it's a little bit slower. one of the components of the Speak Out program, and I said that there are six of them, the sixth one is the cognitive component. So as the person works through the 25-day program, they are working on their cognitive skills, and they're primarily working on increasing their speed, their thinking process, and then also the word-finding skills.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the phone to Barbara in Grapevine. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Very quickly, I was listening to the program, and I have a son who does not have Parkinson's, but he has speech problems. And I'm wondering, you know, with modulation and finding the right words to put in to a conversation, is the Speak Out program, or can your guest recommend something to help a child that has autism?
Any thoughts?
Well, we have started to train speech-language pathologists in different parts of the country in the Speak Out and Loud Crowd methods, and we were just reviewing a survey. We send out an annual survey to the therapist, and one of them wrote back that she has been using parts of the Speak Out program for other patients. She did not mention autism, but said that they were taking parts of it. At Parkinson Voice Project, we're not really equipped to treat a child or other disorders. We focus on the Parkinson's and the Parkinson's-related disorders. However, I think they could certainly call our office and we could give them some referrals.
To people who specialize in working with children.
I think with children. I think mm-hmm. Calyer Center for Communication Disorders would be a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. Are men and women equally affected by Parkinson's?
You know, we have more men patients than we do women, but in the literature it says it's even. So I don't know if I should say this on the radio or not. I kind of have a theory about why we have more men than women patients.
What is that
do
theory?
I dare,
sure.
Do I dare say it?
Go for it.
Okay, well, this is my theory. My theory is that it drives women crazy if they can't understand their husband, so they drag them into therapy. But the husbands could care less if they hear their wives, so they don't suggest the therapy.
Samantha Ellenderry is my guest. She's a speech-language pathologist and founder and CEO of the Parkinson Voice Project. We're talking about treating speech, voice, and swallowing problems associated with Parkinson's disease. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, call us. The number is 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org or send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program, accepting applications for this fall to design your own Master of Liberal Studies degree with concentrations in human rights, creative writing, and organizational dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're speaking this hour with Samantha Ellenderry, who is a speech-language pathologist and founder and CEO of the Parkinson Voice Project. You can learn more about that at parkinsonvoiceproject.org. We're talking about treating speech and voice problems associated with Parkinson's disease. If you'd like to join us, call 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. We have a tweet here, by the way, that says TCU's Miller Speech and Hearing Center has a pragmatics group for kids with Asperger's that can help with rules of conversation. Might be something our previous caller would want to look into. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number if you would like to join the conversation. Let's go next on the phone to Sandra in Corinth. Hi, Sandra.
Hello. I have Parkinson's, and I'm interested in this program, but I just now wrote down PVP.org as their contact information. That was my question. How accessible are these people? They sound wonderful.
Thanks for your call.
So our office is off of Coit Road in Richardson, in between Arapahoe and Beltline. Our website is Parkinson, without an S on the end, so parkinsonvoiceproject.org. And we have something that would be good for your listeners who have Parkinson's or know somebody with Parkinson's is that twice a month we have these free Parkinson's information sessions at our clinic. We have one in the second Wednesday of every month in the morning. And we also have another one the second Tuesday of the month in the evening. So we're trying to be able to have that available to people who are working full time. I think the best step is to come to one of these Parkinson's information sessions and to come see the clinic and meet us and just learn some basic information about Parkinson's. And then people can schedule a voice evaluation if they would like.
Email from Mary asks about whether you work with people who are not English speakers, specifically Spanish speakers.
Yes, we can really work with any. So any person who speaks any language can learn how to speak with intent. What we do is we have a family who can help translate, come with the patient. But yes, we have treated patients who speak other languages and we can do that.
And we had some other questions, again, about cost. And I want to reiterate, you have this pay-it-forward model. If people are unable to make a contribution, that's it. They finish their therapy and they are with the program. But many people who are able to make a donation do so. Is that correct?
So we ask everybody, every person treated, to pay it forward. But everybody pays it forward in a different way. So the cost of the treatment for a speech-language pathologist to work with a patient for a full month and then also our office staff that gets the prescription and all that is $1,800. Now, we have had people who come in and donate $400, or we've had somebody come in and donate $20,000 at the end of the month. So everybody does what they can. We even had one patient who was diagnosed at the age of 31. We did not meet him until he was 61. He paid it forward by arranging for his son-in-law to come clean our carpets. So I've been offered some venison from one patient in return, which that wasn't something that we could use. But, yeah, you know, people can be creative about it. We don't want to deny anybody treatment, but it is important, especially for the foundations who help fund us, mm-hmm. that every person pays it forward. They do what they can. But if they don't have the money, they can come up with a different way.
You mentioned scaling this so that there are organizations in other parts of the country that are using the same program. How has that worked?
So a little bit over a year ago, we started offering workshops at our clinic to train speech-language pathologists in the Speak Out and Loud Crowd program. So far, we've trained 99 speech-language pathologists from 22 different states. On our website, you can look at a list of current U.S. providers, and their contact information is there.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also email think@kera.org, or you can send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think. We have an email here from Larry in Lancaster who wants to know if the techniques bring any emotional oomph into the therapy, such as in the film The King's Speech.
By emotional oomph, do we mean, I wonder if he means more expression in the voice?
I just have that sentence, so I'm going to assume that maybe that's what it means.
I will say that the treatment is very emotional. People come in, they can barely speak. A number of them could be, you know, beaten down. Actually, a lot of people don't realize the impact that Parkinson's has had on their voice until they start to get better. And then I would say that it does become very emotional. Suddenly you realize that your wife isn't deaf, that you're the one with the problem. You realize how much you weren't talking to people before, how you had let other people order your food for you at a restaurant or do other things. And all of a sudden your voice starts getting better. I do want to say that the results happen very quickly. I mean, within a session or two, the person will be better. And so it's pretty dramatic that all of a sudden now you're able to do all this yourself. Many people come into the program thinking that they have the mindset that they can't control anything with Parkinson's, that all of it is happening to them. But that's not true. They can't control losing the dopamine, but they can control exercising, finding a movement disorders specialist to be treated by, taking their medication, reducing their stress. Stress is a big factor for people with Parkinson's. Stress will exacerbate the symptoms of Parkinson's and make them worse. And then if the person who sent the email was talking about the expression of the voice, when you speak with intent, you not only increase your volume, but your articulation is better. Your inflection patterns will be better. The voice will be clearer. So that all happens when you speak with intent.
Does this work, this kind of therapy, help with facial expressions, which also can be more challenging for Parkinson's patients?
It does. So, you know, the problem with the facial expression, well, one thing is that patients, blinking is an automatic function. So people with Parkinson's do not blink as often as they used to. So that can affect the facial expression. But again, going back to Parkinson's causes all the movements to be smaller. When somebody's talking, they're barely moving their lips and the muscles of the face. So as they learn to speak with intent, those muscles are getting stronger, and now they're raising their eyebrows more and moving their mouth more, smiling bigger. So we often do see a difference before and after. We videotape all of our patients on the first day we meet them, and then we videotape them again on their last day of treatment. Some of those videos can be found on our website, so you can see the before and after videos. We also, Parkinson Voice Project also has a YouTube page, and so you could actually go on to our YouTube page and see that video of Sanford that you let us listen to some of it.
Just have a box of tissues nearby, because it's pretty inspirational. What about technology? You know, you mentioned speaking at 85 to 90 decibels. I wouldn't know what 85 to 90 decibels sounded like. Is there, do you send everybody home with a device to measure the volume of their speech?
We measure the volume using a digital sound level meter. And we give all of our patients a sound level meter to borrow for the first couple weeks of therapy so that they can get used to what 85 decibels is. And especially for somebody who doesn't realize how soft their voice has gotten, then the digital sound level meter will help them to realize. And we often have patients tell us, well, I thought I was speaking loudly enough, but then I turned the meter around to my daughter or my son, and I looked at the volume on theirs, and they didn't sound like they were yelling, but they were talking at 75 decibels. I turned it back around to me, and I felt like I was loud enough, but it was registering 63 decibels. So it helps the person to realize that they really do need to speak with intent in order to produce normal volume.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the phone to Andy in Dallas. Hi, Andy.
Hi. Great show. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I had a question about ALS patients. I was wondering if there was any therapy going on to work with people with Lou Gehrig's disease or possibly incorporating pulmonary therapy into the speech therapy.
I actually have worked and used the Speak Out program on people with ALS. The difference is that we lower the intensity level. So for somebody with Parkinson's, we're yelling across the room at, you know, 80 decibels. I would drop that 10 decibels and work at a lower intensity level for somebody with ALS. And also we would do shorter treatment sessions. So we don't want to overwork the patient. And we may not do the full month of therapy with somebody with ALS. We would, the biggest thing with that is teaching. So somebody with ALS is really struggling with their voice, and their speech would be softer and more slurred. So if a family member, somebody with the person with ALS, will use the cue, "Tell me louder." So the person with ALS says something, they don't understand them. If they will use the cue, "Tell me louder" or "more intent," that will be more effective. Normally what people will do, they might tell the person, "Well, take a deep breath," or "sit up straight," or "over-articulate," or "slow down, what'd you say?" And instead of doing all that, have them use more effort. So just say, use the word "louder," and that would help. And the challenge with ALS is that the results don't last like Parkinson's. So I have people with Parkinson's I treated in 2000 who are still part of the loud crowd. You know, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2000. ALS, it's going to progress much faster. But using more intent will help, but we won't do the treatment exactly the same way. And we would need a physician's order to do that.
Let's go back to the phones now. This time we have Laura on the line in Dallas. Hi, Laura.
Well, hi. I'm getting to speak to two of my favorite and most admired people.
Oh, how sweet.
In the world. Yes, Samantha and everyone at the Voice Project helped my late father, Sewell Cutler, so much. It was a huge, huge difference. And she is a great lady. Hmm. So I wanted to say one thing is the loud crowd sessions, the weekly sessions, they make them fun, which is important, because one issue I think is that these people have been accomplished, had full lives, have been very dynamic people, and I know I've heard this from other people as well as seeing it my father, that there comes a point they feel frustrated. You know, well, why do I have to put 20 minutes or half an hour a day into these exercises, especially once they are at a point where they're strong? They'll get frustrated with that, and that's when the backsliding can happen. And as Samantha said, you start losing everything that you've gained. So, and as about the emotion, the facial things, yeah, if you look at some of the videos, you'll see it is, I think, a very marked difference.
But Laura, thank you so much for your call. Do you want to comment on any of that, Samantha?
Oh, I think she's right on. I have great memories of Sewell Cutler. I do. In fact, it reminded me of something, is that people with Parkinson's, you know, when other people look at someone with Parkinson's, they might think they're not capable of doing too much because their movements are so small. You know, they're walking slower. They might be hunched over a little bit. I have this memory of Sewell, who was 90 years old when we treated him, and he was after the loud crowd, he went outside and his car wouldn't start. So we called a tow truck for him. Well, this tow truck shows up and it is so high. I mean, it's probably 3 feet, feet off the ground for him. And we looked at Sewell and we thought, there's no way he's going to be able to get in there. What are we going to do? And he just hopped right up there. So he just used intent. I mean, they really can do anything they set their mind to. It's very possible with Parkinson's. They are much stronger than they look. And that is really important for speech language pathologists to know that. Because they look at somebody who might be shaking, who's maybe slumped over a little bit, and they think that they're not capable, and they kind of back off. And we don't do that at Parkinson Voice Project. We push them as hard as we can in a respectful way, but they're capable of doing much, much more.
I can say in my parents' house, my mom is backing you up on that all the way as well. So I guess it's good to have family support for that, too.
It is, but I don't think Tom needs much pushing. He's doing
pretty
great.
Well motivated.
And we do our best to make it fun, like Laura said. And this show, for example, we are singing music from the Beach Boys and the Beatles, and it's fun, and the director's fantastic.
You can learn more about that and get tickets for the show, I guess, at ParkinsonVoiceProject.org. Speech-language pathologist Samantha Ellendary is founder and CEO. Samantha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is assistant producer. We had help on the phones today from Christina Ulsh. Our executive producer is Jeff Whittington. You can contact the show via email at think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.